KUNM's public health correspondent, Marisa DeMarco, has just completed a three-part series on solitary confinement in New Mexico. She says she found some inmates were put into segregation for really long periods of time, almost 2 years in one case.
So there are people who do their entire sentences in isolation. But one of the things that the ACLU and New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty report really highlighted was how damaging solitary confinement or segregation is for somebody who already has a mental illness. And we're talking about some pretty standard mental illnesses, depression, bipolar disorder, maybe things that people have under control on the outside world. It really exacerbates that, and people basically are driven crazy by being in isolation.
And one of the facts that you came across was that jails and prisons have become these primary treatment centers for mental illness in the state by default, but the facilities aren't really set up to be providers of mental health care necessarily. So can we talk about that more?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, former Bernalillo County Metropolitan Detention Center Chief Ramon Rustin told me that a full 40% of the inmates at MDC, which is the largest incarceration facility in New Mexico, were on psychotropic medications for mental health. So across the board, all of the jail officials I spoke with talked about what a huge burden having such a high mentally ill population on their hands is, and how some of those people really maybe don't even deserve to be in jail. There's stories about people who intentionally get themselves arrested on minor infractions so that they can return to jail and get those stabilizing medications for their mental illness. There's stories about an inmate who didn't want to be stabilized because then he knew that he would be leaving and that he would only have 30-day supply of his medications, which is what they give people when they're exiting, and then he would be on his own to deal with the voices in his head. So I think jail is not only the safety net for dealing with mental health, it's increasingly becoming the plan as opposed to mental hospitals or facilities that are more equipped to handle that stuff.
So let's look a little deeper into the use of isolation and solitary confinement within the incarceration facilities in New Mexico that you were reporting on. I'm wondering if you can paint for us a picture of some particular cases.
Sure. So it was the Valencia County Detention Center where Jan Green, she spent 8 months in a cell that was a converted shower stall. And so she had a mat on the floor. The shower head, which she couldn't use, dripped all the time. The lights were on 24 hours a day. Her clothes became filthy and she couldn't wash them out. She wasn't allowed access to tampons or pads. And it says in the lawsuit that like a sock rotted into an open wound on her foot. And she had bipolar disorder. And when she was admitted into the jail, someone made a note in her file that she needed to see a psychiatrist right away, which she says she never saw, although the jail says she did see psychiatrists, so there's some back and forth on that. And eventually, she was acquitted of all the original charges that got her put into jail in the first place. So it's a situation where eventually you're acquitted by the jury, but you did 2 years or whatever in solitary in the meantime.
So Marisa, I guess the last piece that I think we should definitely touch on is reform. Human rights activists across the world have been calling for policies regarding the use of isolation and solitary confinement to change dramatically. So I'm wondering how we can expect to see that shake out here in New Mexico, especially because the use of solitary confinement in New Mexico is higher than the national average.
Okay, so first of all, the New Mexico Corrections Department is on board with the idea that it would like to decrease its use of segregation. And their goal, they said, was to cut it in half, although one official I talked to said any reduction at all would be great. And the United Nations has become increasingly vocal about decreasing the use of segregation around the world. Internationally, there's an increasing view that this is torture, especially for people with mental illness. In New Mexico, I think we might see some kind of legislation or regulation on transparency surrounding who's in solitary and when. And then Matthew Coit, who handled the Jan Green case, has three more cases filed And he says he has several more in the wings, and he's just not going to stop until he sees reform in New Mexico's segregation policies. His lawsuits are very expensive when people settle them, and that will force the state to make those reforms because it's going to cost them if they don't.
All right, Marisa. Well, thank you for taking your time and joining me today.
Thanks, Rita.
Marisa DeMarco is a reporter with KUNM's Public Health New Mexico Project. You can access her reporting at publichealthnm.org. For KUNM, I'm Rita Daniels.